This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
There is a concept in the disciplines of physics and chemistry and others that they refer to as the critical limit. In Arabic, al-haddul harij. This is a point or a threshold which, if it is surpassed, you reach dangerous waters. And it's a tool that is used in risk management to gauge the difference between an acceptable and an unacceptable risk. The critical limit. And I'm going to marry and merge this concept with another Islamic mighty concept known as Al-Inayatul Ilahiyya, or divine care. We're going to put these secular and Islamic principles together and to show the dynamic and the interplay between them in order to deliver an answer to a question that many of us are rightly asking today. When will the Muslims in Palestine and when will the Muslims worldwide find relief, find well-being, afiyah? When will Allah Almighty give them tamkeen, establishment on the earth? To understand the connection between the critical limit and the divine care, we rewind back to the story of the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There it is exemplified. In the story of Musa, you see a reoccurring pattern that emerges. The pattern suggests that every time Musa reaches al-haddul harij, or the critical limit, which is the edge of human endurance, every time Musa is pushed to the brink, when most people would break, at that dark hour, the critical limit, al-inayatul ilahiyya, the divine care, descends from the heavens and rescues Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Allow me to demonstrate this. Prophet Musa alayhi salam was born in immense duress and difficulty. He was born in Egypt at a time when the Pharaoh had issued a royal and cruel decree condemning every newborn Israeli or Israelite newborn male to the sword. It was state-sponsored massacre of every newborn baby from the Israelites. And this was because of a dream that the Pharaoh, Fir'aun of Egypt, had seen. A young boy from the Israelite would grow up and remove him from power and dismantle his reign. And so he issued that on a yearly basis, they would alternate between massacring the babies and sparing them on another year. And the sparing was not out of mercy or pity. The sparing was so that these young boys could grow up and act as labor and slaves for the Pharaoic Egyptian Empire. This was the context Musa was born in, alayhi salatu wasalam, overshadowed with this type of oppression. Then the mother of Musa delivers baby Musa. And news catches the ears or arrives at the doorstep of the soldiers of the Pharaoh. They rush to the doors of his mother to carry out this evil edict, this cruel policy on this newborn baby from the Israelites. What is happening here? What is happening is that Musa has just reached the very first haddun harij, critical limit in his life. The imminent threat of execution. But the rule, as we said, is stable. The rule says every time a believer experiences the critical limit, the divine care will always follow. So Allah Almighty inspired a remarkable plan to the mother of Musa. Allah said, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. We inspired the mother of Musa to breastfeed him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. But if you feel any fear for him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ. Then place his basket and the baby inside of the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي. And don't be scared. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't grieve. إِنَّا رَادُوهُ إِلَيْكِ. Because we're going to return him back to you. وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And we're going to make him a messenger. How does a mother whose maternal motherly instincts are now surging and erupting, how is she expected to go to the longest river in the world that is plagued with all sorts of uncertainties? It is a wilderness. To place her newborn suckling baby into the river with no nourishment, no milk, no warmth, no care, no safety. Somehow Allah Almighty gives her the strength to do that. She lowers the basket into the river and it begins to drift away from her. And the moment she can no longer see the baby, her heart surges with anxiety. She cannot control her motherly instincts. Allah said, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. The heart of the mother of Musa was now empty, meaning empty from everything in life except her son. All she can see is Musa. إِن كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِي بِهِ. She was on the verge of disclosing his identity. She was on the verge of panicking and saying, this is my son, it's a boy. Even though you may kill him, but that's my son, rescue him from the river. She was on the verge of disclosing his identity. What is happening here? Prophet Musa and his mother are experiencing the second critical limit. Al-Hadd al-Haraj. They've reached the edge of human endurance. And we said the rule is stable. Every time a believer reaches the critical limit, Al-Inayatul Ilahiyya, the divine care must follow. So what happened? Allah said, لَوْلَا أَرَّبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If it wasn't for the fact that we gave steadfastness to her heart, we fastened her heart, we reassured her heart so that she is from the true believers who believe the promise of Allah. Wherever the critical limit arrives, the divine care of Allah Almighty is never too far away. And then, in an amazing turn of events, the basket carrying the child begins to drift where? To the very palace of Fir'aun. The very person and place that she wanted to save the baby from when placing him in the river, the baby now lands at the shores of the Pharaoh and it is parked outside of his house. The men of the Pharaoh quickly collect the basket. It's a boy. They bring it to the Pharaoh. Imagine this godless, sadistic tyrant who is now lording over the basket and he sees a boy. What is happening here? You have an imminent threat of execution. The probability of survival is zero. Musa has reached for the third time in his life, Al-Hadd al-Haraj, the critical limit. But the rule is stable. Every time a mu'min who is patient and reliant upon Allah reaches the edge, the critical limit, Al-Inayatul Ilahiyya, the divine care must descend. What happened? Allah said, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I bestowed love upon you, O Musa, from me. Meaning every person that saw this baby would fall in love with him. This is inaya. This is care from the highest order. The wife of the Pharaoh picks up the baby. She looks at her husband, this criminal, this madman, this sadist. She says to her husband, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكْ. This baby will be a source of joy for both of us. And against all of the odds, the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of Egypt, accepts the plea of his wife and he chooses to adopt the baby and to raise him in his palace. Who would have thought? Now this raised another problem for the mother of Musa. It seemed as if now she was destined to be separate from her son forever. How was she ever going to be reunited with her baby when she represents the marginalized, lower class people of the Israelites and the baby now is being raised in the opulence of the palace of the Pharaoh at the top of the hierarchy? How will they ever be reunited? And there was another problem that added fire to the fuel or added fuel to the fire. Baby Musa was refusing all of the wet nurses. He was not drinking milk from any woman. Allah said, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We made the baby refuse to nurse from any women at first. And as every attempt to nurse this baby who was crying in hunger was failing, Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had reached his critical limit. For the fourth time, Al-Hadd al-Haraj, the imminent threat of starvation. But what did we say? We said the rule, ya akhi, does not change. Every time a believer reaches the critical limit, the divine care must descend. So what happened? The sister of Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gives a suggestion. فَقَالَتْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ. His sister, she said to the people of the Pharaoh, would you like me to tell you of a family that can raise him for you? And they will take good care of him. So what was the outcome? فَرَدَدَنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. We returned the baby back to his mother. كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. So that her eyes may experience comfort and so that she should not grieve. وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. And so that she may learn that the promise of Allah is always true. ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون. But most people, they don't know. It's a fixed rule. And now, لا إله إلا الله, against the odds, in a change, in a strange twist of fate, we may say, or a strange turn of events, the mother of Musa is cradling her baby, safe in her arms, where? In the palace of the man who wanted to kill him. And now she is breastfeeding the baby under the roof of the Pharaoh as he pays her a wage. And he says, take care of him, nurture him, raise him, not knowing that he was raising the child that he had seen in his dream. This will be the man who will dismantle your empire. Is this irony? Is this poetic justice? لا يا أخي. This is divine care. This is care of the highest order that falls upon every mu'min, every believer, every community who are tested and they reach their critical limit when they feel they can't take anymore, but they stay patient, confident, and trusting in the promise of Allah. This is a short episode from the life of Musa. He's still a baby, and we've shown four instances of this dance, this interplay between the critical limit and the divine care. What then about the rest of the life of Prophet Musa? What then about the rest of the prophets? There are tens and hundreds of examples, but perhaps it is summarized in one ayah in the end of Surah Yusuf, where Allah Almighty, He said, "Hatta idha istay'asa ar-rusul," when the messengers almost completely despaired. Imagine the difficulty of a prophet, a trial becoming so dark that he completely despairs. In other words, you may say, until when the messenger reaches the critical limit. The ayah continues, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, and the messenger believes that he's being treated as a liar. What happens at this limit? جَاءَهُمْ نَصُرُنَا, our victory descends upon them, meaning the divine care arrives. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءَ, and we save whoever we will. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and our punishment can never be averted from the evil, wicked, criminal people. Now that we have an idea of the relationship between al-haddu al-harij, the critical limit, and al-inayatul ilahiyya, the divine care, I share with you part of a letter that was penned by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. In Al-Asbahi Al-Andalusi's book called Bada'i'u Al-Silk Fi Taba'i'i Al-Mulk, he said, Umar ibn al-Khattab sends a letter to the commander of the Muslim armies, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who is now standing at the brink of war with his men in front of a huge assembly of Persian soldiers. This is in the eve of war in the battle known as Al-Qadisiyah, a pivotal encounter between the Muslims and the pagans. What will Umar say to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and what advice would he give him at this critical limit? Will Umar speak to him about the strategy of war? Will Umar talk about al-karru wal-far, besieging tactics? Will Umar advise him about flanking? Umar will give him no such advice. Umar says to him in this letter, and this is in the beginning, he said, "Amma ba'du," as per what follows. Listen carefully. فَإِنِّي أَمُرُكَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْأَجْنَادِ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. I instruct you, O Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, leader of the Muslim armies. I instruct you and your soldiers who are with you before battle to be righteous Muslims in all situations. فَإِنَّ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الْعُدَّةِ عَلَى الْعَدُوِ وَأَقْوَى الْمَكِيدَةِ فِي الْحَرْبِ. Because being a righteous Muslim, Umar said, is the most powerful weapon that you can prepare against the enemy. Being a righteous Muslim, he said, is the ultimate strategy of war before battle. He said, وَآمُرُكَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ مِنَ الْأَجْنَادِ أَنْ تَكُونُ أَشَدَّ احْتِرَاسًا مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي مِنْكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ. And I instruct you, O Sa'd, and the men who are with you before war, before jihad, I say to you, he said, be more afraid of sins than you are of your enemy. فَإِنَّ ذُنُوبَ الْجَيْشِ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِمْ. Because the sins of an army are far more detrimental to their well-being than the enemy on the other side of the pond. And then he says to him, we are less than them in number, and we have fewer resources than they do. So if we are the same as them with respect to sins, they will be victorious. They are more powerful. We are outnumbered and we are outgunned. The only hope we have to defeat them is when we obey Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and they disobey Him. In other words, what was Umar radiallahu anhu saying to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas? We can repeat it and rephrase it in a few lines. Umar is saying to Sa'd, you have just reached your critical limit. You are at the edge of war. So beware of doing something that will cause Allah to abandon you. Beware of behaving in a way that will delay al-inayatul ilahiyya, the divine care that you're on the verge of reaping. Fast forwarding to today. Gaza, no doubt, is bleeding in a way that it has never bled before. And the West Bank is erupting. And the Muslim Ummah is surging in passion and rage. And the West are scrambling to control the narrative and to save their Israeli ally. And you have the Zionist project that is cracking and crumbling before our very eyes. In other words, the Ummah of Islam has reached a critical limit. It has reached al-hadd al-harij. So here I say to myself and to you, my brother, my sister, the same as what Umar said to Sa'd before war. He said to him, beware, my brother, beware of doing something that will cause Allah to abandon us during this critical hour. Be on your best behavior. Show Allah Jalla Jalaluhu your best Islamic form. There is no sin that you and I may commit today as we hit muftaraqu turuq, this crossroad. There is no sin that you and I can consider now as minor or insignificant. No setback is minor today. No salah that is missed. No gaze that is extended to haram. No browsing through a website that is prohibited. No offline online communication that is haram. No dealing with riba interest, call it what you wish, on city road. No qati'a, cutting off of family ties. No sin that is committed now at our ummah's critical limit is to be considered insignificant. So I, Ali, and the others are to look into the mirror of self-reflection and to take ownership of our crimes, of our sins, and to ask, what is my change that I'm going to have to bring about during the ummah's critical limit, because we're on the verge of reaping al-inayatul ilahiyya, the divine care. Don't lose your iman. Don't lose your sabr, patience. Don't lose your trust in Allah. Don't lose your faith in His promise when we are just moments away from reaping this fruit of justice that we have been waiting for so long. There is a certain number of righteous Muslims that have to exist at any one time for Allah to send down His divine care. No one knows what that number is. Only Allah knows what the number is. What we do know is that the number is not so high. And therefore, Shaytan knows this is a reality. Shaytan recognizes that the Ummah has to reach a certain nisab, a threshold, in terms of truly practicing Muslims who fear Allah, to qualify them for al-inayatul ilahiyya, care from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So Shaytan will employ his oldest trick in the playbook. And that trick is to convince you and to convince me that our individual transformation has no impact on the Ummah. So what if you say Astaghfirullah? So what if you change your ways? So what if you reshare a tweet? So what if you say to her, I'm not talking anymore, this is haram? How will your situation change the Ummah? This is his technique. Therefore, we have to respond to this satanic whispering with the same resilience that we see the Palestinians standing and offering in the face of occupation. The same resilience we exhibit when Shaytan suggests your transformation has no impact. You turn and you say, no, it does. And it's going to be my transformation and his transformation and her transformation, inshallah, that will tip the scales of the Ummah in favor of justice.